Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome in upstate. It is a Thursday edition of Straight Up with Sturge. I'm live here at Smoke on the Water. Diesel's back at the ESPN Upstate Studios, and we're going to run you up till 6:30 tonight. Why? Because at 6:30 we give way to Burns football. Burns making the trip up to Gibbs Stadium on the campus of Wofford College to take on the Spartanburg Vikings. So, you know, all high school games here in the state of South Carolina, they were moved up to tonight. And then ironically, Diesel, I've now seen over Fort Mill and York, I think it was, for tonight. They went ahead and canceled it because now they're expecting more than 25-mile-an-hour winds there. So they're already expecting that on Thursday night. I keep still thinking about what's going to take place Saturday at noon in Clemson. So here's the deal. We're going to run you up till 6:30, give way to G-Mac and Randy Cable and our buddy Matt Hogan, the sideline reporter for that Burns-Spartanburg broadcast. But at 4:37, we're going to talk with our buddy David Hood from TigerNet about Saturday. Also, Clemson basketball. They get an interesting three games to open up the ACC basketball season. We're also going to talk to you about the Atlanta Braves and the Major League Baseball standings, magic numbers, which college football team has been the most disappointing, and who needs to make a statement in week number three. Also, Diesel, unfortunately, another – you know, last week we talked about the coach being fired for covering up the fact that the junior varsity football team's water was spiked with a male enhancement drug and not informing the coaches or the parents or the school system or anybody else, and cost him his job. We got another story about a high school football coach who is no longer working, lost his teacher certificate. And it just makes you wonder what is wrong with some of these people. But you know what? That many people involved in a sport, assistant coaches, that kind of thing, you're going to get some crazy stories. Also, at 6 p.m., we'll talk with our buddy Anish Shroff from ESPN. He's going to be calling the game between the Tigers and the Georgia Southern Eagles at noon on Saturday in Death Valley. And then, of course, we have some NFL to get into. How much would you pay to watch, or how much should you be paid to watch a certain football game this weekend? All kind of other stuff. And we'll open up the phone lines here in the next segment. But, Diesel, you got to give credit where credit is due. Class, all class. Now, Colgate, a Patriot League football power at times, was set to come down to Furman University this weekend and take on the Paladins. And it was a game in which Furman was going to be honoring the national championship team from 1988. But Furman and Colgate got together and they canceled the game. And this is what this is what Colgate head coach Dan Hunt and the Colgate Crusaders did. Said, we immediately gave up our hotel rooms so that rooms are now available for those coming inland. But we still bought the meals we were going to have and requested that the hotel serve those meals to the people who have been relocated on us. So that means people at that particular hotel are going to be fed on the Colgate Crusaders. That's a class move by Colgate, with, you know, obviously having that game move.
So, it is. That's a good way to pick up some fans as well. You know, I hope that the hotel lets them know. And, you know, if that means a little spike in viewership for Colgate games, if that means they sell a couple T-shirts or something from the online store, then maybe they'll get a little bump, get a little bit of that back. But, you know, it's doing the right thing, and you have to appreciate that.
Yeah, pay it forward. Pay it forward. Even Tennessee. Now, we took a small shot at them yesterday going – well, they obviously had the tickets to do it, but they are letting evacuees from North Carolina and South Carolina attend the Tennessee-UTEP football game on Saturday at no cost. I think what you do is you show your driver's license at the gate. And, again, what a great way to get your mind off things while you're relocating from this hurricane. Now, for an update on Florence, it is getting closer to land. The Outer Banks in North Carolina, I have been out there once, Diesel. I mean, you're from you're a North Carolina native. Grew up in Hickory, North Carolina. Have you ever made your way out to the Outer Banks, Duck and all through there? Really, really neat area. Cape Hatteras, all of that.
Yeah, I have. It's been a couple of years, but I've been out there two or three times.
You know, we mentioned yesterday, I was going to be curious to see, you know, that mile of, you know, at times it's not even a mile wide, you know what I mean? And it's way out there across the Sound. Roads on the Outer Banks, some of the roads are already underwater and impassable. And this is just early into this storm. Saw a tweet out from the area in eastern North Carolina that if you live in a low-lying place, get out now. And that's the thing. It's 105 mile an hour winds. That's enough. I mean, watch some of the guys on the Weather Channel right now trying to stand up in a 60 mile an hour gust. Wait until this thing gets 95, 100 mile an hour sustained winds. And but the issue is how slow, how big this thing is. It's going to tear up the North Carolina and South Carolina coastline. And it has affected college football all over the place. Georgia announced this morning they were scheduled to play Middle Tennessee Saturday night. They have now also moved their kickoff on Saturday up to noon. Some other things when it comes to the schedule. You'll be able to watch some ACC football at 5:30, BC at Wake. We'll talk more about that in just a second. Just kicking off up at the road in Charlotte, where you were this past Saturday, Diesel, Old Dominion in Charlotte. Again, just kicked off at 4 p.m. So that leaves your only college football on Facebook Live tonight, and that is Tennessee Tech at Utah State. So, again, it is a short schedule today. Newberry, Newberry Wolves, they've already played earlier today. They beat the University of Virginia Lynchburg 27-14 down in Newberry earlier today. Game just did a little bit ago. So, I don't think there's any way to look at it, but what a long, strange weekend in college football, Diesel. Games canceled, games postponed, games moved around due to times. And what looked to be a really, really good weekend with some matchups like West Virginia, NC State, thought that was going to be a sneaky good matchup. It's now a light schedule when it comes to college football. But we can also tell you Clemson and Georgia Southern will be broadcast on ESPNU tomorrow. Now, with Georgia moving their game up, they will be broadcast on ESPN News on Saturday at noon. You have one Friday night game of note, and that is Georgia State at Memphis. So a lot of different things as Florence gets here. But, Diesel, only in the South, right? You know, we're a proud bunch down here. Is that fair to say?
Sure.
Did you see – I mean, here are some of the terms that you got to come to grips with. If you haven't been watching the news this week, it has been all Hurricane Florence coverage. You know, absolutely no doubt about it. So you're learning terms if you don't know them, like eye and eye wall or cone of uncertainty or storm surge. You know, that's how much water is pushed up on shore. That's what's closed you know, the main road at the Outer Banks down. You hear we mentioned floodplain. You know, they've now called in eastern North Carolina. If you know you live in a low-lying area that's prone to flooding, get out now. Category, you know, whether it's Category 2, Category 1, whatever. Those are various words that you hear over and over and over again when it comes to a hurricane, especially one that may your weather in your local region. But do you know what FEMA and some of the other national organizations use to determine exactly how bad the hurricane and the effects in local areas after it goes through, especially in the South, what they use to determine some situations to gauge damage? Do you know what they use and what it's called? I did not know this
until I'm going to guess they use the Reckon scale.
The Waffle House Index. All right, literally. Disaster management officials at FEMA use the Waffle House Index.
Waffle.
What is that?
Waffle.
Yep, Waffle.
There you go.
All right. As FEMA explained, looking at data on which diners are closed or open with full or limited menus gives a sense of how the surrounding area has fared. So they literally pay attention to Waffle Houses here in the South when it comes to gauging damage. And I just thought, you know, we're proud of Waffle House. Love it. I almost feel like I need to go eat there to honor them that they literally use that restaurant chain when it comes to disaster management officials to gauge how much damage was done. Unbelievable. I mean, I guess they're saying if you're open on a full menu, things aren't so bad. If you're open on a limited menu, then things obviously couldn't be delivered to the restaurant. If you're closed, then guess what? You probably got popped pretty hard. So I just thought that was fascinating on a day in which we are now seeing Hurricane Florence make its way toward the coast, roughly 100 miles off. And but again, now winds way in to the state of North Carolina. Also, it looks like the track is going to maintain right around the North Carolina, South Carolina line. Here's the deal. This has been as uncertain of a hurricane track that I've ever seen. I've got a friend that was finishing off our French drains at the house. That's what he does after a hurricane. He goes and helps and gets people, you know, it's kind of like a first responder. And he's like, this is the most bizarre hurricane that I've ever seen. He goes, we hadn't quite figured it out. But as he was saying last night, being experienced at this, one of the issues is now how big this storm has grown. And if it moves as slow as they're expecting, you're just talking about long time periods of rain and potentially wind when it comes to certain areas. So that won't be good either. But when we come back, we'll open up the phone lines. You can get in with us about the college football weekend ahead. Again, it is now underway. Also, how about the Atlanta Braves? What did they do? What is their lead? Where's their magic number? And a whole lot more. Our first interview is we're live here at Smoke on the Water. David Hood of TigerNet at 437. All right, welcome back in. We are live at Smoke on the Water. Diesel, I was telling you during the break, I can tell, you know, first of all, Greenville's best happy hour here at Smoke on the Water, 4 to 7 p.m. But just looking around the restaurant and who's kind of hanging out, it's been a nice, busy lunch, and you can tell there's a lot of relocated people here taking advantage of Smoke on the Water in downtown Greenville. So, again, if you see somebody that looks a little lost or wonders what to do, just welcome them to town and thank you. And, again, cool move by Colgate, donating all their food from their trip down here to the evacuees, staying in that hotel. Now, there's no score up I-85 between the Charlotte 49ers in Old Dominion. So football is underway at 5:30. BC at Wake Forest. And before we go to the phone lines, here's the deal. It is a light schedule in college football. I tell you who is the loser in this Wake Forest BC game tonight. It is A.J. Dillon, the running back for Boston College. You know, he was a freshman phenom. A lot of people are wondering, could he potentially get himself in the Heisman Trophy race? Of course, BC has played nobody to start the year with. They destroyed UMass, and they beat another in-state foe in Colgate last week. So both teams, Wake Forest and BC, come into this matchup 2-0, but Wake Forest has been better tested. Remember, they won down at Tulane the opening week in overtime, and they've done it with a true freshman quarterback, as their returning quarterback is suspended for the first three games. So I don't know what to think about this game today at 5:30, because Thursday nights are inherently difficult for the road team, but Diesel, when you have to move game times around and things of that nature in what's already not a normal routine, does that not benefit the home team that much further?
Yeah, I'm not sure the changes like that really benefit either team more than the other. I mean, you're putting yourself in an odd situation. Both teams are having to go through the same odd situation.
Yeah, but one's in home in their beds, the other's on the road. That's like everybody's talking about, and Delvin will be to you in just a second. Hawaii making a nearly 5,000-mile trek from the islands to go play in West Point against Army this weekend. You know what? Everybody's like, man, you got to put them at the disadvantage. They're going to be playing at roughly 6 o'clock a.m. their time when you take the time travel or the time change into account. Well, they went ahead and came on over here like on Tuesday. But I would maintain Hawaii is one team you don't really look at the travel with, because they have to do it 5-6 times a year anyway. So what's a couple additional hours in an airplane when you're already used to doing it 6-7 times a year to begin with? All right. Let's go to the phone lines. Delvin wants to talk college football. Delvin, welcome in. Hope you're having a good afternoon.
I'm good afternoon. How about you?
Yeah, man, fantastic. The calm before the storm.
Yeah. Speaking of the storm, I want to get your take. What do you think about Dan Radcliffe's statement today about why he's playing the game on Saturday?
Well, I think there's a couple of things involved with this. Number one, there's no airplane involved, and that became an issue for Marshall. They would not be busing into Columbia. They would be flying in. So Georgia Southern, number one, they're going to be on wheels. Number two, they were looking at potentially moving their team inland anyway, because now it looks like Savannah, Statesboro might get slapped in this. Now, we'll talk with David Hood in the next segment, but, you know, as of this morning, they left the door open a little bit if things change in the next 24 hours that they could still make a move on this game. But, Delvin, it felt like when they announced it's now going to be kicked off at noon and televised on ESPNU, that was a final nail that it's going to be played at noon on Saturday.
Yeah. Yeah, they'll be too late to get on them camera crews. Got them camera crew probably coming down early, especially from Bristol. I don't know where they come from, but they're probably coming down early tomorrow.
Well, I'm sure that crew, because we'll have Anish Shroff, who's calling the game. He's based out of Charlotte, so he'll be on with us at 6 o'clock. The reality's this. They think, as of yesterday, they're going to be able to get it in. But I tell you this much, it's going to be windy at noon on Saturday. How much rain, I don't know. But this thing's moved a little bit quicker. And as we said, we saw Fort Mill at York tonight. High school football went ahead and canceled it this afternoon because they're now expecting winds of higher than 25 miles an hour.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. It might get dressed up a little bit because they like to run the ball.
Yeah, I think talent wins this game here, Delvin, and thank you because we got somebody else. Georgia Southern runs the ball. They got the dual threat quarterback that's from over at Newberry, and he throws the ball pretty well. He's 11 for 16 on the year for a little less than 200 yards, but makes good decisions. But I mean, Clemson's going to have a huge advantage on both lines of scrimmage and everything else. So, I mean, this is a game. You know, if Clemson's number two in the country, you handle your business. Hope nobody gets hurt in what could be a wet field, because that could affect you the next week as you make your way down to Georgia Tech for that 3:30 kickoff in Atlanta next Saturday. So, I mean, I think what you literally – I mean, we talk about it so often in the openers – get your guys, get the blood flowing, handle your business, get them out as early as possible. Diesel, I think that is even more the case and storyline when it comes to this Saturday, because last thing you want to do, you don't want to be battling at the end of the third quarter and all of a sudden one of those defensive linemen come up hurt, you know, with a chop block, something along those lines. Number two, a potentially wet field, that could account for that as well. So, I don't know. I've got mixed emotions about it, Diesel. I don't know if you saw the final results of our ESPN Twitter poll, but I was really surprised. 55% of the people, it was more than a couple hundred people, responded to it, said no, the game should not be played. And quite frankly, I was surprised by that, because if you follow ESPN Upstate on Twitter, that means you're a sports fan. You know what I mean? So that means you're probably like, hey, man, play the game. You know, don't let a storm affect my schedule, my entertainment value. I was really surprised 55% responded no, the game shouldn't be played. So, you know, we'll take your opinion on it as well. Again, David Hood from TigerNet put out a story last night suggesting that they could still make a move on it, but it just feels like putting that noon kickoff on it and moving the game to ESPNU, that kind of finalized things. But I guarantee you, everybody's watching Fast and Furiously right now. So we'll talk Major League Baseball in a few minutes, but we'll let you know this when it comes to the Atlanta Braves. Who would have thunk that they would have the third highest lead when it comes to their division in Major League Baseball on September 13th? With yesterday's 2-1 win to sweep the San Francisco Giants out in San Francisco, first time they've done that in 7 years, they have now opened up a 7.5 game lead on the second place Philadelphia Phillies. Now, just a half game behind the Phillies, the Washington Nationals. We said yesterday, just wait and see. Washington would end up finishing in second place in this division. They've actually won 5 games in a row, same as the Braves. And think about it. It's a little bit surprising for the Nats. They began selling off their team last month. Identical marks for the Nationals, 37 and 36 away and home. Now, they will move on to take on Atlanta. Atlanta is off tonight. The Chicago Cubs and the Washington Nationals, they're playing right now at Nationals Park in D.C., and they are in the bottom of the second with no score. You also have 2 other games going on in Major League Baseball right now. Arizona trails Colorado there in Denver 5-1 at the end of the fourth inning. Also, the Mets and the Marlins tied at 2 in the bottom of the 6th up in New York. So we'll keep you updated, because, you know, with the Braves being off today, the Phillies not playing, you could gain another half a game by not even suiting up. The Chicago Cubs, they need wins. They lost another game last night to the Brewers. Now Milwaukee just trailing the Chicago Cubs by 1 game. Only 3.5 back is the St. Louis Cardinals. Also out west, the Colorado Rockies, they have a 1.5 game lead on the Dodgers. The Diamondbacks, 3.5 games back. So we're getting, it's a long way to October, but guess what? We're getting a lot closer. And, of course, the Atlanta Braves, who would have thunk it? 6-4 in their last 10 games after that. Just, you know, you remember last week that terrible loss to Boston, who, by the way, congrats to the Red Sox. They picked up their 100th win on the season, and they've already found themselves a home in the upcoming playoffs. So, again, who would have thunk it? The Atlanta Braves, 7.5 games up as they head into tomorrow's action. The magic number, down to 10. Yep, just 10, a combination of either 10 Atlanta wins and 10 Philadelphia, you know, however it works out, getting to 10, and the Braves are going to be your National League East champions. And who would have thunk it, an entire year ahead? And that's why I maintain, when it comes to the Atlanta Braves, get used to it. Kind of like the Georgia Bulldogs over there in the SEC East. Get used to it, because you're going to see them on top of that division for some time to come. All right, we'll get into Clemson, Georgia Southern. We'll find out if there's any chance that this game gets moved here in the next 24 hours. We don't know. Hurricane Florence now making its way towards shore. So we'll talk with our buddy David Hood, covers the Clemson Tigers for TigerNet.com. When we come back to Smoke on the Water here in downtown Greenville, it's Straight Up with Sturge. We're live on this Thursday afternoon. We're off at 6:30 for Burns Spartanburg football. All right, welcome back in. We're live at Smoke on the Water, and Diesel's back there trying to connect with David Hood from TigerNet. Hopefully we'll have him here in just a second ahead of Clemson, Georgia Southern. Again, that is a noon kickoff on Saturday in Memorial Stadium in Clemson. And the Tigers are a 33-point underdog or favorite. The over-under on the game, 47. Both of these teams come into this matchup 2-0. Of course, Georgia Southern, they won their opener against South Carolina State 37-6 before knocking off UMass last week 34-13 there in Statesboro. Of course, Clemson comes home after that close 28-26 win over Texas A&M out in College Station this weekend. So pretty limited slate, if you will, when it comes to the ACC, because we've now had multiple games canceled. Of course, North Carolina, Central Florida, that game has been canceled, not to mention, as we told you, NC State and West Virginia. That was going to be one of the sneaky good games of the weekend, no doubt. Also canceled in the ACC this weekend is East Carolina at Virginia Tech. In Virginia, they moved their game on Saturday from Charlottesville, Virginia, to Nashville. They'll take on the Ohio Bobcats there in Nashville's Vanderbilt Stadium at 4:30. Other action in the ACC, I'm telling you, some people are calling it the upset pick of the weekend. I don't see how you can say that when there's only a 3-point spread. But Syracuse, they host Florida State at noon on Saturday. Of course, we remember Clemson's trip up there to the Dome last year in their only regular season loss. And Florida State, in all honesty, been a train wreck. We were talking about disappointing teams in college football. You'd have to put Florida State in the mix right there. Wyatt, 1-1 and not hitting and blocking anybody at this point, having to make a come-from-behind win against Samford, an FCS Southern Conference opponent there in Tallahassee last weekend after just getting mauled, if you will, on Labor Day night by the Virginia Tech Hokies. So I'm telling you, Florida State, watch out. You know, you hadn't played very well, but sometimes I think teams do better on the road in this situation. And guess what? We will find out if that is the case for Florida State at noon on Saturday. I'm going to go ahead and take the upset pick. I think Florida State loses to Syracuse. Now, I read the story on how this game came about. They are calling it the biggest football game in Toledo Rocket history. Now, listen, Toledo's had a good MAC team here, but coming to the Glass Bowl for a noon kickoff on Saturday is number 21, the Miami Hurricanes. Now, somehow, some way, this thing got scheduled 10 years ago. You know, Kirby Hocutt, he was dealing with, the Miami Hurricane program falling off after all the allegations and whatnot went on. And Toledo kept sending the Miami people a message, hey, man, we'd love to do a home and home. Now, Toledo had identified Miami in which to try to do it, Diesel. Why? Because they saw Miami was going to be making a trip to Boone, North Carolina, and to Arkansas State last year, even though that game never got played. So here's the deal. Toledo, they have hosted now 6 Power 5 schools in the last decade. The majority of them have been like Iowa State, Missouri. But they are calling this the biggest football game in Miami, in Toledo history, with the Hurricanes coming in for a noon kickoff on Saturday at 12:30.
I know a lot of Miami fans get upset when they're fans of all big schools get upset when they go on the road to play some of these smaller teams, and because they think it's below them. Why should we, the big and powerful school, go play the smaller school? Understand that it's about budgets, okay? It's getting insanely expensive to pay a smaller school to come in and be a body bag game. That's the reason why they're going to play. Because if you got $1 million to throw at your school and say, hey, here's $1 million to go pay somebody to come in here and play, they'll gladly take it and they'll pay somebody to come in and play. But they're doing this for budgetary reasons.
And it's a lot of these are now is App State's taking advantage of it, doing a 2-for-1. We'll come twice to your place if you'll come once to ours. All right. Also in the ACC, Georgia Tech makes the way up to Pittsburgh for a 12:30 kickoff. Pitt is a 4-point dog at home on the road against Georgia Tech, who, again, they faltered in the fourth quarter last week, losing at South Florida. You also have Duke at Baylor. That's a 3:30 kickoff. Out in Waco, Baylor, a 6-point favorite. And I'm sorry, it's live radio. This sucks. David said he wasn't sure why the phone call didn't go through, so we will connect with him here during the break, Diesel. Ohio at Virginia in Nashville, like we said, and then Western Kentucky, they host the Louisville Cardinals. So when we come back, we are going to connect with David Hood from TigerNet, talk about this Clemson-Georgia Southern game, find out if this gets worse, if there's any way they could still make a move on it. As Straight Up with Sturge, we are live on the road at Smoke on the Water here in downtown Greenville on this Thursday edition. We'll come back with David Hood, the senior writer for TigerNet.com. All right, welcome back. We're live at Smoke on the Water. We're going to the guest line. It's our buddy David Hood, the senior writer for TigerNet.com. You can give him a follow on Twitter at MDavidHood. And David, are you ready for a little wind? You ready for a little rain here later on this weekend here in the upstate?
Yeah, I mean, I've got my little swimmies and my floaties ready, and if water comes up, I'll just put them on my arms and I'm ready to go.
Well, listen, you did a article earlier today. Dan Radakovic went out on, I believe it was the ACC Sirius radio show this morning, talking about the conclusion of booking this game and moving it till noon on Saturday. But did it feel like if this gets a little worse here overnight, they left some wiggle room for a final decision tomorrow? Or is this thing kicking off on ESPNU at noon on Saturday, no matter what?
Yeah, you know, I think that there was some room kind of maybe heading into lunch today that in case the track changed or anything like that. But, you know, kind of once you get to, you know, about 24 hours before kickoff, I don't know that too much is going to change. I think that, you know, the way things stand right now, things are going to kick off on ESPNU at noon tomorrow.
Yep, we'll talk to, we will talk to Anish Shroff, who will be calling that game at 6 p.m. tonight. But listen, before we look ahead to Saturday, you know, how was your, you know, you didn't get to take your lovely bride, Nikki, out, as y'all expect Eli here in the next month or so. But what was the trip like to Texas A&M? Because there were a lot of puckered faces here Saturday night in the upstate as that game was coming down the stretch.
You know what? That was an absolutely wonderful trip. It's one of those things I wish every road trip could be like that. When the fans were great, the food was great, the stadium, you know, is huge. It's cavernous. It's awesome. I met so many nice Texas A&M people down on the sidelines before the game. The game itself, you know, I put on Twitter there in the last minute or so. It's like, what a game, you know. And some Clemson fan got mad at me and was like, how can you say that? It's making my heart beat too fast, and this is not fun to watch. And I'm like, no, this is a lot of fun to watch. And, it just couldn't have been better. I enjoyed every second of it.
Well, what's been the attitude of the team this week? The players met Monday, and then Dabo, of course, has his weekly press conference, because a 2-0 Georgia Southern team comes in, and their first-year head coach has them playing much better football with two wins and a South Carolina product by the name of Shai Wirtz, who's friends with Kelly Bryant, who happens to be from Newberry and has gone up going to games at Clemson. So a little bit better Georgia Southern team than we expected just a month ago.
Yeah, you know, Chad Lunford's done a good job down there, and I think, you know, when you take that job at Georgia Southern, you've got to keep the tradition, you got to keep the school buses running that Irk Russell, you know, started all those years ago, and, you know, you realize that in a former life, this team, you know, this program won 6 national championships and was a runner-up in a couple of other national championship games on the FCS level, and worked as a kid that came to Clemson's camp. You know, Brent Venables offered him as an athlete. Venables really wanted him, but they wanted him to come in and play defense, and he decides he wants to play quarterback on the next level, and, you know, and kind of watching what they've done through the first 2 games, everything kind of runs through him, running the football, passing it, you know, with that kind of spread option attack that they have. It's all Shy Wirtz, and, you know, for Clemson, I think it's been a thing of relief. It's kind of like Dabo said all week. They made a ton of mistakes, quarterbacks, running backs, offensive line, defensive line, linebacker, second, everybody screwed up. And they still came out of Texas A&M with a win. So now it's been a thing of correct the mistakes and get better. Not a championship team yet, but certainly I think Dabo's hoping they get there.
You know, and one thing that, we can say it in the media, the coaches want, but right now the schedule sets up favorably for the Tigers. And I maintain Georgia Southern at home on Saturday is a great precursor to taking on Paul Johnson the following week in Atlanta. So that's the beauty of these two games. You kind of get to dial in with the same attitude in back-to-back weeks.
Yeah, I actually asked Dabo about that in his Tuesday press conference. I said, does it help? And he said, well, sure. You know, it's the option, even though it's a little different than what Paul Johnson runs, but it's still all about eye discipline and, you know, playing the gap, making sure that your gap's sound. And he said they don't cut as much as Paul Johnson. So hopefully, you know, both teams will avoid some serious knee injuries on Saturday. But, right, get you ready. Clemson's going to go down and play Georgia Tech the next week. And actually, 3 out of the first 4 weeks for Clemson, kind of an option look. So, you know, they'll be able to get this out of the way after these first 4 weeks, get the option looks out of the way.
So, I mean, how is the offensive side of the ball feeling about things? Hadn't really been able to put together these long drives, but this is a quicker strike offense than I've seen out of Clemson in a long, long time, as evidenced by I turned my head last week when they were up 7-3. They insert Trevor Lawrence in, boom, one play, 60-something yards. They're back in the end zone.
Yeah, I think it's still an offense trying to find an identity. I don't think they really found it a lot last year, and I think they're still struggling a little bit this year. Tony Elliott told me earlier this week, I was asking him, I said, why does it seem like the middle of the field has disappeared in the Clemson offense? And he said, well, teams are loading up the box. They're putting 7 in the box, playing a one high safety, and daring Clemson to throw the football. So Clemson now already has, I think, 6 plays over 40 yards this season, which leads all of the FBS. They're trying to throw the ball down the field, trying to loosen up the defenses a little bit so that they can get the running game going. And I think that's going to be part of their attack this week is continuing to throw it down the field, see if they can loosen things up. And I think you're going to see a heavy dose of Kelly Bryant. I think you're going to see a heavy dose of Trevor Lawrence again.
I mean, you say this about the opener and a mismatch every year, but is it not even more imperative to go ahead, handle your business early on Saturday, especially if there's some wind and some rain, and make sure you get your starters off the field and a great time to put the backups in? Now, again, we say that for every mismatch opener, but I would think there's even more of an onus due to the weather this weekend.
Yeah, you know, somebody asked Dabo about that, and of course he was like, hey, you know, I'm expecting a 4-quarter game Saturday. That's what he's supposed to say, but
right.
It is. It's one of those things where you hope you can get some of these younger guys, a lot of these 18 kids, get them in, get them more experience. You know, you didn't see Justin Ross or Xavier Thomas or Darian Kendrick or players like that last week. In fact, I think there were a couple of them that didn't even make the trip. So this week, you hope that you're going to take these kids. You hope you're going to get them, you know, some more game time because you got some important games coming up, starting with, you know, the start of conference play next week at Georgia Tech.
All right, before we let you go, I don't know if you laid eyes on Coach Brad Brunell of the basketball team, but does he have a little sly grin or a look in his eye like he's ready to kill Greensboro? Because it was announced today, the ACC basketball schedule, Clemson goes to Duke, to Syracuse, and then hosts Virginia in the first three league games of the year. That is a great way to either announce your presence with authority or go, wow, is this just Greensboro messing with us?
You know, whenever we ask you about anything like that, he kind of always gives us that little half-crooked smile, and he's like, yeah, it, just, it is what it is. And, you know, I kind of look at it like if you're Clemson, you get the tough stuff out of the way early.
That's right.
And then you're able to kind of, you know, go through the middle and the latter part of the schedule without something brutal like this. You know, actually, over the past couple of years, it's been brutal towards the end. Now they just get the brutal early, and I was thinking that, you know, that first game at Duke, if Clemson makes college football playoff, there might not be a whole lot of Clemson media there because they may be on the road somewhere.
Yep, no doubt about it. All right, well, you guys are always on the road at TigerNet. It's free. Y'all have some of the best photographers, writers. Of course, your wife, Nikki, she's getting prepared for y'all's first child, Eli, here in the next month. So, David Hood, it never slows down for you, but things are even busier than normal right now.
They are, you know, got so much going on. We'll have everything, of course, for the game this weekend. We've got the full staff, you know, ready to cover everything from the weather to the game itself. And, you know, then getting ready for Georgia Tech next week. We actually, you know, got all of our credentials today for that Georgia Tech game. Taking five more people down and, you know, get this team going into conference play.
All right, buddy. Well, listen, I hope everything works out well Saturday. It doesn't get any worse than what they're anticipating. And as always, appreciate your friendship. Look forward to talking to you soon.
See you, buddy.
All right, there's David Hood. Just give him a follow on Twitter, at mdavidhood. Of course, tigernet.com. They are a free site, one of the originals out there. And listen, David Hood can flat out write, no doubt about it. All right, so let's take a look at some other issues in college football. Which teams have been the most disappointing after 2 weeks? You know, we overreact every year after 1 week, but after 2 weeks, you can start to get a little bit better feel for it. We'll also tell you some teams that need to make a statement this weekend, but you can get your college football thoughts in with us. It is an open hour of phone lines here on ESPN Upstate. We will talk with our buddy Anish Shroff, who will call the game on ESPN Saturday, Clemson, Georgia Southern. Plus, remember, we are out the door at 6:30 tonight as we give way to Burns football at the Spartanburg Vikings on the campus of Wofford at Gibbs Stadium.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.